Hello, everybody. So welcome to A Heart Refined. So for those of you who are on video right now, you might think, why is she opening so formally saying welcome to A Heart Refined? Well, I'm recording on podcast right now. One of the things that I have loved doing lately is writing more, because obviously the Lord has moved me to do so. Hint, hint, a book should be coming out within the next 2 weeks. Really exciting. I'm letting the Lord take care of the exact timing on that, so I can't say exactly when, but in that time frame, so get excited. But yes, obviously, I love writing right now because that's what He's leading me to do, but I miss these great little experiences being on both video and podcast. I think there's a lot of great things that can come out of these sort of quirky and sometimes very deep experiences that we have through both. And sometimes there's people who are not on Facebook and Patreon, but they will sign in to the podcast. And by the way, if you're on any of these, podcasts is a great way to be writing and listening. There's been some really great stuff this past summer, like with the series on James. Oh my gosh, so good. Some of my early podcast work is a little, I'm not the proudest of that stuff, but in the most recent, it is good. So anyways, I wanted to make sure and incorporate this stuff so that we can talk about new things and make sure that more people have access to this than before. Okay, so the name of this video / podcast is sometimes it's good to have a gut. What does that mean? Of course, me as a holistic health coach, as a personal trainer, we fight to beat the gut. In fact, I'm going to be having a stress belly workshop here in a couple of weeks. But there's a good kind of gut to have. And this is the kind of gut that God gives you with a deep walk in the Spirit through God's Word. And that way you're not just filling your head with information. You're not just memorizing the Bible, but what you're doing is filling, being saturated with the Word of God. And knowing it from deep within. And this is where that point comes, where you are then in the mode of discipling someone else or having a gospel conversation, where your cup just runneth over and it just flows out of that guttural position. It's also good to have a gut in God when you quite literally choke on your own spit. And what do I mean by that? Well, there is always the instance, like me the other day in the grocery store, where I'm standing there and I'm looking up, looking at something, and literally choke on my own spit. Like, so much so that much more, and I maybe needed to lay down on the ground and have somebody come check on me. But I was good, and I was like so embarrassed, because I mean, it's one thing to cough in a world of everything might be COVID, but another thing to say, no, it's my spit. Literally, I wasn't chewing gum, I wasn't eating or drinking anything, just that's it. And that shows you sometimes how completely ignorant and human I am. No, and ignorant means you don't know something. Stupid is just the stupidity of humanity right there, and that was me. And I bring that part up because there's sometimes where that figured or that literal stuff happens, where you look dumb and you act dumb, but you know God is good and you move on. But then there's a time when you quite figuratively choke on your own spit. Maybe you put your foot in your mouth, or you do something you shouldn't do. You hurt your family, you sin against someone, or you respond in such a way that is hurtful, or there's so many things. Or you take part in a behavior that's not just inappropriate, but it's ungodly, and you've definitely gotten choked up in your own way. And knowing, having an active walk through God's Word, it will help you avoid some of those things. But here's the beautiful thing about our Savior. He had to die for us because there were going to be times where we were going to choke on our spit. There were going to be times where we just weren't going to quit being human, even though we knew. There's sometimes that we are human and we don't know. There's that ignorance that comes into play. And what's going to have to happen, though, every time is learning how to force yourself into worship. Now, a lot of times people have this misunderstanding that forced worship is fake. I heard Mike Winger talking about this recently, saying there is no one else can force worship on you. That's just not possible. You can't make someone worship. But when you force yourself into worship, into a position of praising God, no matter how badly you've been hurt or how badly you've hurt someone, no matter how stupid you look or stupid you feel. You press yourself into the position to worship God and to praise Him. And so there's several places in scripture that I would love to land. I'd like to keep this at an appropriate amount of time. Podcasts, I tend to go a little longer. And so if some of you are on the video watching this and you want to catch this on podcast, maybe when you're in your car, please do come back and get it. So this is probably going to go just a little bit longer than a normal video, but this, because the scripture is so rich. One of the things that I immediately go to is Psalm 32, and this is where David has, he's understood that he's in sin when he has slept with Bathsheba. He's committed this pretty bold sin of what he's done. He didn't just sleep with her, he got her pregnant, and then he murdered her husband so that he wouldn't be found out. And so he is here, and he, in the name of this chapter, though, is the joy of forgiveness. And it starts out, I mean, all of this has happened and he recognizes this sin, but he says, how joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is a person whom the Lord does not charge with iniquity and in whose spirit is no deceit. See, I found a lot of great comfort in that right there, recognizing that even while sometimes I may be completely guilty of something that has to be made right, and it's going to take time, I recognize that because of Him, I have the joy of His forgiveness. And so I don't have to be bound in myself. I don't have to be bound in such a way that I can't function. I can't move forward in Christ. I can't do what I've been called to do otherwise. Like, say I were to shut down my book writing, or say I were to stop sharing the scripture like I'm led to do. Say I were to call off workouts and eat bad food. I mean, that would actually be trying to fight a bad thing with bad things. And it's important that we not turn ourselves over to evil when there's a perfectly good opportunity to make sure that you're walking in the Spirit and that you're asking forgiveness both to Him and to wherever else. But enjoying His forgiveness. It is possible to be experiencing the consequence of a behavior of yours and enjoying the forgiveness of God. Let that blow your mind for a second. That is who He is. And David goes on to say, when I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. In other words, when he wasn't confessing his sin, when he wasn't moving forward and releasing that to the Lord, it actually made him sick. So it's important that we move forward. He says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That's it. That's hardcore right there. Hands down, stamp it, be sure of it. When we go to the Lord and we say to Him, I really want to move forward, and coming in repentance, just coming and saying, oh, I got caught. God, forgive me so that I can move on. But then you really don't have any intention of moving from that way of life or learning from what happened. Then that's not asking for forgiveness. That's not truly what it is. And so true forgiveness is contingent upon your repentance, on a contrite heart and a moving forward. And then what goes from there is you're going to be able to watch His forgiveness play out through you, whether the situation turns out like you think it should or not. Be confident in who He is. And so you go on through chapter 32, and there's this good guttural learning of God's forgiveness, even of quite bold sin, like what David was going through or what he participated in. But Psalm 33, okay, so look at the end of Psalm 32. It says, verse 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Okay, righteous ones, upright in heart. This means the forgiven in Christ. This means not because you did anything except receive His forgiveness and move forward and trust in Him, that He is going to work out the rest for His glory. So you go in out of 32:11, where it says that, again in 33:1, and these are noted to probably be linked together because the last verse and the first verse are so similar. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise from the upright is beautiful. There you go. Again, praise from the upright is beautiful. So say, what if you've been forgiven by God? and you are still suffering the consequence of your behavior, something that you've done, and you're trying to get that right in Him. You're trying to move forward, but that consequence is heavy. And that real, where that real toggle can be is if you release that to the Lord and you don't keep trying to fix it. Like you make yourself right, you do everything possible, and then you release it to Him with great trust that He's going to do it. You can really toggle back there and forth. So it's going to take you actually releasing it to become upright in heart. And you begin to force that praise, and you're praising the Lord, saying, I'm going to give you all of this. I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm going to whatever I need to do. And He calls you upright in heart. And you have to know that this is going to be a great movement of the Spirit in your life as you quietly, gently wait on His movement. All of Psalm 33, praise to the Creator. This is very similar to what we see in Job 38 through 41, where God has come back and He's talking to Job, saying, you're going to answer me like a man. And I picture Job standing in great awe of God while he's being slightly scolded. And I say slightly, he's being spoken to directly by God. So you might think that he's just bowed down in grief-stricken angst. But I really do think that Job tears running down his face in complete awe of God who's talking to him. But I also think that he's in a position where he's in such awe and wonder that he wants more of God. And so there's a great joy. Again, there's right there consequence of his behavior, which we see Job gets a little, I feel like he gets a little arrogant in throughout the book. And so he's experiencing that consequence by coming before the Lord. And Oswald Chambers says, in an experience with God, we should be two things, both completely delighted and completely humiliated. So I think this is where Job is. I think that's what that looks like. And so in this position, we see David really the same kind of way. And he moves over into 33, saying, the heavens were made by the word of the Lord and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea into a heap. He puts the depths into storehouses. Let the whole earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came into being. He commanded and it came into existence. That's the stuff right there that we've got to have in our gut. The knowledge that God is sovereign and that his providence and his sovereignty weave so beautifully in together, because he is perfect and he knows all things and he sees all things. And this thing that you've done or has been done against you, this sin or whatever it is that's hanging over, the consequence, all of that, he's not shaken by it, because he knew from the beginning that you were going to take part in this thing, or this thing was going to happen. And so in his gracious, merciful heart, the same heart, the same hand that flung the stars into space and that formed the mountains with his fingertips, he is saying, I see you. And I want to forgive you. Will you receive my forgiveness? Will you allow me in? And so that you can know on a guttural level, God sent my son Jesus, not just to die for you, not just to rise again from the tomb, but to be raised, to be seated at the right hand, and so that he can pray for you, and so that he can advocate on your behalf about this sin that you're in. Know that from your gut. Receive the forgiveness and then wait on him. What does waiting mean? Well, in this right here, in 32, 33, and in all of the Bible, I really feel like the word wait doesn't mean that you need to be in sackcloth and ashes. There may be some times where the Lord calls you into a very quiet place of prayer, but most of the time, I believe where he has called you to is a place of putting one more foot forward and trusting him that he's going to do the good thing. And he just wants you to be involved in his work. So I pray that this week, as you go into whatever it is, as you're working through the things in your life that you feel are so heavy and so wrong, that you recognize his sovereignty, that you recognize his providence, and that you recognize there is nothing that you can do I paused right there because my phone, this is my iPhone storage is full. So maybe this will only go out on podcast. So I'm not going to stop doing this because it's rolling so good. But maybe as you go into this week, you can feel and know that His presence is good, and that all you need is Him. Is all you need is trust in Him. So go further. Oh, and I was going to say too, I got a little scattered right there, but recognize that if you're wanting to move forward in the Lord, if you're wanting deeper relationship with Him and you are not actively studying His Word, then that will fall flat. And that's by God's grace and mercy there too, because He will not allow you to move forward without Him. Our God is a perfectly jealous God, and in His perfect jealousy, it has to be His or it will be nothing. Okay, well, good. I'm glad we have that on podcast. I pray that the Lord blesses you, and I pray that your gut is absolutely full and your cup runneth over. God bless you, friends. I'll see you next time on A Heart Refined.